Our Laughter Will Become the Waterfall is an art installation by Wiradjuri artist Jazz Monet, featured in Joy Now, an art exhibition at the Immigration Museum in Melbourne, where culture, nostalgia and happiness collide in a blaze of colour. And I'm glad to say, Jazz has accepted to spare some time out of her busy schedule to give us some insights into Our Laughter Will Become the Waterfall. Jazz, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to ITV Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jazz, can you share with us the story of Our Laughter Will Become the Waterfall and how this installation connects with joy from a First Nations perspective?
This exhibition at the Immigration Museum is right on the banks of the Yarra River of the Birrarung Ma. It's a very potent site. It's where there was always a waterfall that ran through that part of the river, separating the fresh water from the salt water and you know, being a significant site for the Kulin Nation, which is something I was aware of having spent a lot of my life living in Melbourne. This opportunity to present a work at the Immigration Museum, this was sort of my first thought, though obviously the exhibition is themed joy. So it's not a particularly obvious pairing to talk about the destruction of waterways and to talk about joy. But I was thinking about this proposition or this invitation to talk about joy or think about joy. And I was thinking a lot about how as First Nations people, joy can be a really significantly radical or revolutionary act in a colony and in a society that so often attempts to render us without joy. You know, we live in a society that is deficit-based when viewing First Nations experience, and that is just not the truth of the lived experience of First Nations people. We have joy and abundance and love and humour and sexiness and all the things that make us whole, rich beings. We are not defined by the colony in the negativity and violence and oppression that has been brought here. We are defined by our own terms, and those colonial interventions are an imposition that have been put upon us. And so I was thinking about this act, joy, as this radical act and as this loving act, and that this idea that when we laugh, we become sort of free of the colony. The colony no longer has its claws in us, and we return to this sort of state that transcends time. That made me think again about this waterfall that should be there, and in a deep time understanding of place is still there. The work is really about thinking around how you can change the surface of country, but you can't change country, and you can change the surface, but you can't take away our laughter. So the waterfall isn't there now, but our laughter is still here. So the piece is called Our Laughter Will Become the Waterfall, which is written in a really large mural that wraps around the space in the installation. And in the middle of the space, there's a bunch of cushy cushions and a nice sort of carpet that you can lie on. And in the middle of that, there's a little yellow house. And that little yellow house has an audio track inside it that is playing a group of Koori women laughing together and singing a little bit. So when you're in the space, you can just be sort of bathed in this sound of laughter and joy. And it's a very domestic sort of joy. I wanted to sort of emphasize that joy is an act that we perform daily, and we perform for ourselves and for our community. You know, that's so much of what it is to be in communities, to share these moments of joy and to do it privately without having to be on display. That's what the work is about.
You kind of answered what was meant to be my next question, but I'll just ask it anyway. How do you use artistic elements to express joy as a form of resistance? Because what you just explained is a form of resistance. Tell us more about how you express this in your art installation.
I think that audio track really is the heart of the artwork in so many ways. And I think there is something quite quietly political about being able to hear this thing and not be able to see the people who are laughing. But it is so distinctly, you know, this black, feminine, matriarchal sort of presence that is in the space. And to me, this idea that, like, actually not everyone is welcome to observe what's going on, that we do have sovereignty and we do have self-determination, and that these things are really, really, they start in the home, they start in the grassroots. And I wanted to sort of turn on its head this sort of deficit language that we so often are surrounded by as First Nations people living in a very hostile colony, and to say that, yeah, like our laughter is a part of that, our joy is a part of that. And we need to live in that truth as much as anything else. And I don't say this from like a naive position. The challenges of First Nations people are immense, and they are very significant. But I think when we are constantly told that we are always less than the white society, we stop allowing ourselves to exist in these really these multitudes, and these multitudes are loving and joyous. If we don't allow ourselves space for that, then what are we really fighting for?
You kind of alluded to this when talking about matriarchs and that joy starts at home in the family setting. Am I right to deduct that the expression of joy has a transgenerational element to it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It is an inherited thing. It is a matriarchal gift, you know, these ways that we are taught care and love. And we can receive that in so many different ways. The choir that I worked with who make up the laugh track, they're an intergenerational group of women living in Nowra on the south coast. And the way that each one of their stories is present in that space, because their laughter is present, and their laughter represents, you know, generations and generations of women who have been laughing on this continent since always. I mean, that's a real way to honor your ancestors, right? Is to continue the joy that they fought for.
And now, looking at your artistic expression, what personal stories or experiences inspired the creation of Our Laughter Will Become the Waterfall?
It was all those things I was talking about. It really did start with place and thinking about this waterfall. And thinking about simple things on stolen land. I think everything that I do is approached from an understanding that, like, there are millennia of stories that happen on every footstep of this continent, and that to tread lightly and to tread respectfully is to acknowledge those multitudes of story and place. So whenever I'm invited by a institution or anyone really to make a work that's going to be physically present, I want to always try and respond to that place as with as much, you know, integrity as I can. That's why this work is about waterfalls, but it is about joy, it is about First Nation presence being an always thing. And to me, you know, I started thinking about, like, well, my experience as a First Nations person is a joyous one. It is one that is defined by laughter and gathering and song and humour. And, you know, it is also defined by these other more violent things. And I think that is true of every First Nations person. We have to exist with so much complexity. We're inherently politicised bodies. But I think emphasising one over the other attempts to render us as less deserving of the good things. And I want to make space for all those things. So that's what informed the work, was my lived experience, and also, you know, a deep awareness or attempted awareness of place and responsibility.
And do you see laughter as a catalyst for conversations about change on social issues?
That's an interesting one, right? Because I think, you know, so many people say that once you have someone laughing, you can have them sort of thinking about things in a different way. I mean, I guess that's the craft of being a comedian. I think laughter can represent a lot of things. To me, there is something, you know, it's that thing that so many of our elders say, right? Like, if you're not laughing, you're crying, and you sort of need to be able to find the humor in so much of the absurdity of what takes place. And I think often laughing does motivate us forward as much as crying can. So having space for both of those things, or all of these things, the rage and the laughter and the joy, you know, I think it can bring us together in different ways. And I think when you laugh at something, this is a sort of different type of laughter, but when you mock or ridicule something, you also remove some of its power. And I think when you're laughing at this sort of colonial infrastructure, you point out how ridiculous it is and how sort of fragile and fallible it is. So I think laughter can function on lots and lots of different levels. Laughter can bring us together and it can also motivate us.
Yeah, you just said it so powerfully and very artistically. We all know that humor is a great vehicle to convey political expression. Now, the installation is part of an exhibition at the Immigration Museum. Now, do you see our laughter will become the waterfall as a counterpoint to the broader theme of our immigration narrative?
It is an interesting thing, right, to be a First Nations voice in a space called the Immigration Museum. And I think the exhibition, Joy, is a part of a sort of broader movement of the Immigration Museum really focusing on a sort of shared humanity and a shared experience. You know, so much of this continent has been determined by the people that make it up. And also that is a part of my family story. My mum's side is Irish Catholic immigrants who came to this place. And so I think these sorts of ways of bringing people into conversation with each other, trying to give people opportunities to gather and to consider sort of various perspectives, to be in an exhibition like Joy, where there are so many different artists with so many different voices and so many different takes on this theme, I do think you as an audience leave with a really sort of varied understanding of all these different forms that joy can take. Joy is a domestic thing, is a gathering thing, as a cultural thing, as a very personal thing, as an abstract thing, and as an active sort of one of the artworks, which is really brilliant, is a recreated video store from the early 2000s. And, you know, that's a source of joy. So these sort of nostalgic moments that can bring us joy as well. And then futuristic elements. I think all these different ways of thinking about the shared human experience is really powerful.
And now going back to a conversation we had earlier a few months back about your film Winangana, are there any thematic links between Winangana and your artist art installation in this exhibition, Our Laughter will become the waterfall?
Yeah, actually, that's a really salient link. So much of Winangana is about emphasizing community and gathering and joy and love in response to the violence that has occurred here. And in making Winangana, which was made entirely of archival footage sourced from the National Film and Sound Archives collection, I was really looking to tell a story of how we as First Nations people tell our own stories, and we tell our own stories with multitudes. We don't render ourselves through the colonial lens that was so often imposed on us by the Australian filmmaking tradition. When we tell our own stories, we tell them with joy and beauty and love and sexiness. And I think that sort of thinking, that thinking about joy as an act of protest, and as an act of defiance and an act of survival, is really sort of where I was thinking when I got the invitation to think about joy for the exhibition at the Immigration Museum. Because, you know, in making Winangana, I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours sifting through archives and listening and observing and being in this sort of very strange one-way dialogue with elders who were teaching me what resistance can mean and what it can be. And, you know, that education I think will stay with me for my whole life and will manifest in so much of the work that I make.
Now, Jasmonet, before I let you go, anything else you'd like to add to the conversation? Maybe something you want to bring to the attention of our listeners?
I should say that I have a poetry collection coming out in August of this year called Mark the Dawn, which also thinks a lot about these conversations of joy and love and community and gathering and sort of matriarchal power. I'm really excited to be talking about that book, which is coming out soon.
Excellent. And I believe we should have another conversation in the sidelines of the release of your new book. Well, Jazz Monet, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio today. It's been a really great pleasure talking to you.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good one.